A reading from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Only days before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, amid those palm branches and the shouted hosannas, Jesus told his disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus had spoken these words because his disciples were seeking priority over one another. He wanted them to understand that that was not what his kingdom was about. Obviously, though, the disciples didn't take the message to heart. Less than a week later, as they were gathered in the upper room to eat the Passover meal, not one of them was willing to humble himself to perform the necessary service of washing the feet of that small band. That was clearly a duty each one of them thought beneath him. So Jesus, knowing he had come from God and was returning to God, as St. John records, performed this humble task himself. We need not doubt that Jesus had the disciples' attention for this lesson. Actions speak louder than words, after all, especially actions so shocking and so personal. And Jesus' actions were especially shocking given the context in which they took place. Jesus and his disciples were about to eat the Paschal meal together, commemorating and celebrating the great redemption God effected for Israel when he delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. On this most holy of nights, faithful Jews would remember how by the blood of a perfect lamb smeared on the doorposts and on the lintel of their houses, the Lord had spared them from the 10th plague. While all around them, in every house in all of Egypt, every firstborn person and animal died that night, the plague of death did not touch Israel. For the Lord himself passed over the houses of the people of Israel when he sent the angel of death into Egypt that night. The phrase, "the Lord will pass over," as Moses was instructed to define it, provides a wonderful illustration of the Lord's deliverance and protection. The most natural interpretation of the phrase is probably that the Lord would bypass or would skip over the houses over whose doors blood had been smeared. But Moses tells Israel that when the Lord sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you. To pass over, then, means to protect or to guard. When the Lord passed over the houses of the Israelites who had put the blood of the Paschal Lamb on the doorframes of their houses, the Lord didn't pass those by. Rather, he himself stood guard to shelter them and to block the entry of the angel of death. Their safety was in his protective presence. And that is where Christ comes into focus as our Passover. We were never slaves in Egypt, to be sure, but we have been slaves. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And we are certainly also subject to death, for the wages our sins have earned for us is death. Nonetheless, the Lord, who once delivered Israel from death and slavery in Egypt through the blood of an unblemished Passover lamb killed without breaking any of its bones, has delivered us also from slavery to sin and from death by the blood of a perfect lamb he provided. Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God, killed without breaking any of his bones, who takes away the sin of the world. You have been redeemed, Peter writes, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. And because the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, the Father now passes over us. Having Christ as our Passover lamb means having the Lord pass over you and me to keep us from harm and to rescue us. He defends you against all danger and guards and protects you from all evil, Luther wrote. This puts you right in the middle of some of the most beautiful and comforting pictures in the scriptures. Through faith in Christ, and on account of his blood shed for you, you are a chick whom the Lord has gathered beneath his own almighty wings. Through faith in Christ, and on account of his blood shed for you, you are a sheep in the hand of the Father, from whose hand no one can snatch you. The Passover meal Jesus celebrated with his disciples was a meal of remembrance, to be repeated each year in order to remind Israel of their redemption from slavery, and so allow them to appropriate it anew. As they participated in the Passover feast, each succeeding generation confessed their inclusion in the great rescue of the Passover, and were taught to trust all the more firmly the Lord who had so powerfully intervened to save them. The new supper that Jesus instituted after he had washed his disciples' feet, the Lord's Supper, is also a meal of remembrance, to be repeated often to remind Christians of the redemption Jesus won for them by his blood. Through his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus made full and final payment to redeem you from your sin. As you eat the bread, in which he gives you his body broken for you, and as you drink the wine in which he gives you his blood shed for your forgiveness, he reminds you that he has redeemed you and teaches you to trust him all the more as the one who loved you so fully from eternity and on his cross. But the Lord's Supper is more than just a meal of remembrance. It is a sacrament, a means of grace. It not only assures those who eat and drink, trusting in Jesus, of his forgiveness, it actually dispenses that forgiveness to them. In the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit is active, bringing forgiveness and strength to all who eat and drink in repentance and faith. As we go through our lives, it's often difficult to maintain our focus in God's promises and our trust in his love and concern for us. Many difficulties and disappointments try our faith and tempt us to doubt God's love or despair of his help. The threats of the coronavirus to your life, your health, your finances are all too immediate and real. The alarm they provoke can threaten your trust and confidence in your Savior and his promises. As you try to live as a trusting child of God, too often you don't succeed even in those things that you want to do because you know they're God's will. Fighting against sin, loving one another. What a wonderful blessing, then, it is to be able to come to the Lord's table, to hear him say, This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Here you have the assurance that Christ is your Passover. May God lead you always to seek this blessed assurance and strengthen you by it until the day when, by his mercy and grace, he welcomes you to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.